Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, we continue After Hours right here on CBS Sports Radio. Tiger Woods, a Masters champion and a major champion once again. His fifth green jacket that he did win over the weekend and his first major championship since 2008 at the U.S. Open. This puts him at 15 overall, and everyone's going to start talking about him chasing Jack once again. What a scene it was over the weekend on CBS. Someone that was on the call alongside Jim Nantz is a three-time Masters champion, and that's Sir Nick Faldo, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes on CBS Sports Radio. Nick, it's Zach Gelb in New York City. Thank you for the time, and how are you?
I'm great. I'm trying to recover from yesterday evening. Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it?
It was so many emotions, and there's one thing to finally see him win again, but we sometimes forget about the human emotion in this with how much of his life has been in the public spotlight, and there's been many negative moments over the last 11 years. To see how you guys captured it after 18 with the embrace back in 97 with his father, and then to fast forward all these years later when he's dad and his kids run up to him and hug him, that was something that was really special and something I'll remember for a very long time.
Yeah, I agree. That was one of, well, probably the greatest motivation that Tiger had. He wanted his children to see Tiger Woods play how Tiger Woods used to play. And so that was amazing. But for me to do that 11 years on, you know, I mean, he went 5 years before he won, you know, the tour championship at the end of the year. But to go 11 years between majors, I'm astonished that he kept his nerve, or probably his nerve is as good as. And he kept his poise. And obviously he knew, or he had a knowing, that he was in control of himself. And that's all he had to do, and then just wait, bide his time, and wait for the others around him to slowly falter.
And that's the thing, because it was so intense. We know what the buildup is and what happens when he's in contention at a major. And really, I'll go back to after round two, where he pars on 17 and 18 and missed two birdie putts. Usually you would see a frustrated Tiger Woods, but he walked off the course with a big smile. And I guess he knows better than anybody the journey he's been on. And I would have to imagine he appreciates the moment now more than ever to be back in this stage.
Yeah, I think, you know, 2 years ago, he said, and that was it. He was in so much pain that he couldn't even walk, let alone play golf. So I think that obviously this surgery has given him a new lease of life. He probably feels very fortunate, grateful that he's literally, I call it the 11th hour, you know, one, maybe this is one last chance. So maybe he's saying, hey, just relax, go and play. Let's play as hard as I can, because the next time the bat goes bang, that really probably will be it. But for this particular time, just relax and play. I mean, this is the hardest thing to do, but he looked like he's definitely able to do that. And I think that's the message is always great to send to your opponents, that, you know, kind of like, I'm all right, mate. I can handle it. How are you getting on? And he watched them all slowly unfold.
There's been such a quest for him to go on, and there's been such a talk on if he would ever win a major again. You talked about the Champions Dinner in 2017 where he said he was done. Yeah. I look back at 2015, and I grew up as a major Tiger Woods fan. For me, he was the biggest part of the sport, and I would only want to see him win growing up as a youngster. And the first time I doubted him and said he's never going to win again was in 2015 at that U.S. Open when he missed the cut and he was 16 over. And I said, who are we kidding? I don't see how he's going to win one again. Mm. 2018 was a big turning point. We all know what happened in the majors and then events like Aronimink and the Valspar as well. Take me through your timeline. When did you think that maybe he wouldn't win again? And when did you get hope that Tiger Woods would win a major championship again?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I mean, it goes right back. I mean, after his personal kind of crash and burn in his life, I said straight away, and that will really affect your concentration. Because there's nothing nicer being a golfer, heading to the golf course in the morning and then just practicing all day. You don't look at your... Well, we didn't have mobile phones back in my day, of course. So you stopped it, but now you've got that constant, you know, you go and have a look. And obviously, there's so much going on in his life off the golf course. He was, you know, it kind of wrecked, I believe, just wrecked his concentration. And then that stress went into his body. He had all sorts of injury issues, you know, trying to fix that. Then the swing issues as well. I mean, we commented all the time on the swing, how he would lose his level and would have at the two-way miss, all sorts of things. So with that going on, yeah, I agree. 4 years ago, you said, no way, no chance. And you know, this latest operation, obviously they've given him, he's got limitations with his spine movement, which has actually helped his golf swing. He's far more level. It's amazing he can still get the club head speed, 120 plus at times. But it's kind of helped him because he can't torque his spine, you know, underneath it so much, and then that blocks you right, or you overfire your hips or whatever it might have been. Now he stands up and kind of rotates through it differently. But to gain the trust, you know, something must have clicked. Well, I know it. Something clicked last summer. You know, he started playing better and better, and then of course he had a great run at our Open at Carnoustie, my Open, I should say, my Open at Carnoustie. And he's finally leading. So he suddenly felt that. It was the first time for years. Like, wow, what's it like to win a major with 9 to go? And it didn't come off. Then at the PGA, he got in there and he didn't have his didn't even have his C game. In sometimes, I mean, it was just hit it sideways. That 9 holes on the Sunday night, and he went through that in 2 under. And after that, I thought, if he can do that, he can do anything now. It was only the mighty Brooks Koepka that held him off. So after that, I started thinking, you know, if he can actually just will the golf ball, you know, and find a way to get around the golf course. And then, so luckily, earlier this week, I was starting, you know, obviously you asked what you're thinking, and I said, well, Tiger has a great chance because he knows the feeling, what it's like at Augusta all through the week, especially obviously the weekend. And I thought, and I did say, at least I said it on air. I said, hey, run it like a marathon. I'd run a marathon running on the guy's shoulders, let them do all the work. And if I've got a bit of speed, I'd zip in front, you know, and win that way. And it's almost what he did, wasn't it? He hung with Molinari all the way, let them do all the work. And as soon as they falter, step in. And then they falter again, and then he's already stepped things up, and he went in for the kill on 16, and so it just unraveled perfectly how he could find his way through the pack, and then they all had a late charge, and it was all too late.
Sir Nick Faldo here with us from CBS, the 3-time Masters champion Zach Gelbin for A-Law on CBS Sports Radio. The preparation, I heard him say on the broadcast that he got up and got ready at 3:45, 4 o'clock a.m. Eastern for a 9:20 a.m. Eastern tee time. Were you able to get some insight on what it takes for him now to prepare his body to play a round of golf?
Yeah, I've seen it. I saw it at San Diego first week. I was in the gym, and he comes in, and they go through the, you know, his physio will warm and stretch his body up, that sort of thing, and then he goes off to the side and does a few of his moves, which are pretty serious. You know, he throws 50-pound weights around like, you know, like the toys. So I made notes of all that and thought, okay, that's interesting. So goes through all that warm-up process, but obviously with a back in that kind of delicate state, he has to do that all the time, I assume. He can't probably risk going playing golf just for fun in case he's not completely warmed up. But you know, that's always been Tiger's. He's never been a great sleeper, I believe. You know, he's one of these four hours a night guys, and so he's quite happy to always plays pro-ams at, you know, the first off, which can be 6:30, which means you're quite happy getting up at 4 o'clock all the time, which. So he's kind of used to that. That actually played into his hands a little bit, that he's fine getting up at 4, doing a full warm-up, and and then heading to the golf course and breakfast and practice, and that's all part of his routine.
You got a chance to talk to him yesterday after the victory for 15 minutes in a great conversation. You, Jim Nantz, and the 5-time Masters champion in Tiger Woods. What stood out to you the most in that 15-minute conversation? What was your biggest takeaway?
I'm amazed how he can keep his emotions in check, because, you know, after all of that, and then talking about his dad and his son and his daughter and the whole, I've the emotional relief. That's all I felt was, wow, I can still do this. And I would have thought he must have the most amazing feeling inside to just say, well, I can still do this. Well, it's 11 years on, I can still win. And, you know, he won in style. It wasn't like...
The competition was unreal. It made for great television, because not only did he win, he won going up against so many big names playing unbelievable golf.
This is what we all said. I thought, his other era, he used to fend them off one at a time. They had the Chris DeMarcos and the Bob Maidens. You know, people were attacking one at a time, but he was right in that pack. We had seven players most of that day within one shot. We usually had about three leaders, didn't we, sort of thing, and then four guys one back. So there was so many permutations that everybody had a chance. You couldn't Molinari play consistently. If Patrick Cantlay could have finished, you know, as soon as he looked up and saw he was leading, he went bogey, bogey. All sorts of permutations going on. You know, Brooks Koepka, wow, what if he hadn't have doubled the 12th? And Dustin was just kind of slow. He was just like, could have done with a couple more holes to finish. But Tiger threaded his way through everybody, and that's what it's all about. Obviously, quite a few things have to happen. A couple of permutations have to happen. The odd missed putt at the wrong time. But he played really solidly. It was a tough, nerve-wracking day, which it always is at Augusta on a Sunday.
On the way out with Sir Nick Faldo, who's my guest on CBS Sports Radio. It's funny how this works. We go from he's never going to win a major again to now people talking about how he's going to finally catch Jack, which people did obsess about for so many years. I know so much of it comes down to health, but you take a look for the rest of this year. He plays Pebble Beach very well, as we know. Bethpage Black. Do you have a feeling that he's going to catch Jack? How do you approach that question now?
I mean... Yeah, I agree. To be honest, you start with, well, it's a real tall order, three to catch Jack. But it's like anything. It's like when Rory won his four majors, you go like, well, yeah, he's invincible at that particular time. And everybody says he's going to win a dozen. And, of course, now he's going to be delighted to get one more. The health is a major thing. But he's definitely still got his nerve. That's the other very important part. A couple of those courses, Bethpage Black will be tough. US Open will be tougher. I don't know, but there is still a chance where 5 years ago we were quite happy to say there's no chance. So it's good. Yeah, if he stays healthy and the rest of the players, they know he's out there now. They know he can just fend everybody off and get in the mix. I guess he will be in the mix, whether it comes out again. I really don't know. I haven't really got a gut feeling on. Or he may have used up so much emotional energy to win this one after 11 years. I mean, it's amazing. I guess the bottom line is it's wonderful that you've done so much, yet you're still motivated. You've still got Jack's record to drive him on. It's like, which is unbelievable, isn't it? You are... Flip a coin, your choice between Jack and Tiger, the absolute greatest by a long way in our time. And you've still got that motivation, which I think that's going to be his best club, is that. Stay fit, definitely motivated, and anything could happen.
How do you compare this one to 86 with what happened with Jack in 86 and this one with Tiger? Because a lot of people are saying... this is one of the great masters of all time. How do you compare the two?
Yeah, I think the wins, I think you've got to say they were Well, both incredible. Both, if they put the wins as equal, but the scenes that we had and the celebration, that's why I said we will never see a scene like that ever again in the game of golf. I don't think so. There'd be no celebration like that. I mean, the patrons for a good hour plus were watching that leaderboard and reacting. And then they were standing, and the reactions on every time they changed the leaderboard. You know, I sit right on the back of 18th green in a little green tower, and they were standing. Throughout the whole, like, standing ovation all afternoon. Nobody really wanted to sit down because every time they changed the board, there was a reaction. But those whole scenes, and Jackie's loved and Tiger's loved. So, you know, we put that on an equal thing. But the whole scene with the family, and, I think the comeback from after what he's been through, I mean, I think that we have to give Tiger the edge, considering the way that he's been taking himself in his personal life, to claw back to that. You've got to give him the edge that possibly, quite possibly, was the greatest Masters we've ever seen.
Well, I enjoy your insight. Always love your excitement, especially for this event. And we saw that Jim got the best of you, got you a little emotional on Sunday. It really is special to see your career.
Yeah.
You know, with the three Masters, then you hand Tiger his first green jacket, and for it to come all full circle with your emotion, it was just awesome to see it unfold.
Yeah, you know, they just sat us down in the chair, and they said, oh, we're just going to play your 30-year piece. So we didn't even know I sat down. And that was the nicest piece I've ever seen. It was the first one, you know, when they started with me talking about it all going wrong, and I'd never seen a little clip like that so well presented. So that kind of got me going. I thought, oh, that's nice. That's really cool. Oh, wow, that's great. And then because you start talking, as soon as I start talking about my son playing, and then, then reminiscing, I did this piece for the club. It had me walking down the hole, 11th hole, and reminiscing. As soon as I then thought of, I just thought of the solitude of me being down there on the 11th green all on my own. And that's, it's obviously, it's a very important place in my life. You know, nobody ever will win. Well, nobody ever will tie me or better me by winning two Masters on the 11th green. The reason why I can say that is because they play the 18th hole now. But so I've got that little corner, White Dogwood, is my spot. That's pretty cool. You can imagine the sacred grounds of Augusta National, and I hope they, well, let me have my little moment, but to be able to say that 11th green is my spot. I mean, that's so. I think that's what really got me. As usual, you're wound up with doing a presentation like that the whole week. You're head spinning, and then they threw that one at me for 2 minutes, and it got me. So it was good. Good fun.
Nick, thank you for the time. I can't thank you enough. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Cheers. Thanks a lot.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.